Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
You're still going to be hopped up for these games. I mean, I will be. So I imagine they will be.
Are you cranked up, hopped up? Welcome to it. It's Creighton, Nebraska Game Day, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt, Husker, NFLer, and hoopster Jay Moore. We're going with your 14-14 points and rebound average in rec basketball.
Yeah, not in rec basketball. I'm done. My rec basketball days are done.
Go with me on it. TJ's a volume shooter in the three-point arena. I'm Schmitty, and I just wheeze on the sideline. I'm the ML Carr. Great to be with you. Celtic reference for you, TJ.
I got it.
Busy show. We'll get into some Nebraska-Tennessee because it's never too soon to talk Rocky Top and Smokey. Robert Keith Kessling, play-by-play voice of the Vols, set to join us in 20 minutes. That's supposed to happen. We shall see if it does happen. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, Mike Shuhart. Shuey will be in. A lot of Tiger talk to get into. Maybe even get Shuey's thoughts on the next Creighton-Nebraska basketball golf showdown. A.D. Markowski will be with us, the pride of Ord. Husker basketball standout, his thoughts on Nebraska-Creighton tonight. And you can boo now if you wear red, but I wouldn't because he's a good dude. Coach McDermott will be with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We had a chance to catch up with him a little bit earlier. So Coach Mack, around 5:25, his thoughts on Nebraska, his thoughts on Creighton. You can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. And I'll be honest with you, taking the family tonight, I have not been as excited or cranked up for Nebraska-Creighton. You'll watch it because it's on every year. And usually they've been on Sundays. And it's just been, you know, baby seal clubbing time. It's been brutal. It's been awful. And that just kind of erodes your hope and your wellness and what you think of, as a Nebraska basketball fan. It's one more punch below the belt when Creighton's dismantling you and been dismantling you. And we're going to try and talk you into some optimism tonight. And, you know, can it happen? And I look at this ball game tonight as a couple of things. One, and I'm going to throw all the superlatives in there and hype this. Go with this hype. Because I think the Nebraska basketball team's feeling it. I think Coach Miles is feeling it. I think there's a high level of talent on the Nebraska team. And this is one they can get. We explore how. But this could be a season changer for Nebraska basketball, and that's the best way to go trendy here and overanalyze and say, okay, we got to label this, and we do. This could be a season changer. Virginia Tech looks like a better loss, but how many times the last few years have we said, that's okay, they're almost there, they're almost there. They're almost there. They don't want to be almost there. I guess the time's now to put up, and you got a couple opportunities, two opportunities this week to put up. They'd be classified as major upsets, but so what? Go do it. You have some talent. You got the home crowd tonight. KU probably is like, yeah, Nebraska. Yeah, we remember bludgeoning them on Monday, big Monday back in the day.
Yeah.
Go do it. And if it doesn't happen, so what? But be close if you do miss. And a season changer. You feel great about UCLA, take that confidence from out west just a few weeks ago and execute and finish and give me no more excuses other than the fact that on paper and athletically, they are probably just damn better than you. Make it happen. Pull a Hoosiers moment. That's my advice. My other advice, in vibe, have a good time and make it truly home court tonight. That's one question I have. How much blue is going to be in PBA? I know it's sold out.
Probably a decent amount. Although those,
but can you can hear can from you the top? Yeah. A little
can
bit.
You make it hostile tonight?
Oh yeah, you can make it.
Red Zone's got to bring it.
Are you prepared?
They don't let me down there
anymore. You know, yesterday it was we.
Yeah, right.
So I need it to be we tonight. What, you're not, what, you're a little gray in your beard now, so they don't let you in the red zone?
Yeah, yeah. That kind of expires, so.
It'll be a little bit. I mean, obviously it'll be a little more red than the blue. Oh, there's more blue than the red up in CenturyLink in the past, but it'll be interesting. That line's very intriguing to me. 4 points.
How you laying?
Ooh, I would lay a lot on Creighton.
Yeah, here's 14, yeah, not four.
Right. It sounds like free money to me. What's interesting, though, I don't know. I mean, without Creighton's lost for big man for a while, you know, that's interesting. But I tell you what, see what Nebraska can do with the tempo, because Creighton gets up and down, and they go, and they go. And bro, Coach Mack likes to get hits tempo, and we'll see how we can handle it. Although, I don't know. We'll see what they do defensively. They're going to go zone on us, or they're going to stick with the man, or how we're going to do. But I have no idea. This team can be, you know, every game's different with this basketball team. I'm excited to watch it, though.
Well, and I'm excited to see it and kind of make this a season changer for you if you're Nebraska. If you're Creighton, you're unbeaten, you're top 10, you're in a spot that, best case scenario, maybe some guys who didn't play a lot have been in, if they're still in the program. From the Dougie days, where you were ranked high, where you were seated high. So there's been a taste of this in the program with Creighton as of late, and they've won tournament games. You have that stamp right now as probably the basketball program in the state, and that's going to anger those in red. But it's, I mean, if we're just talking performance and expectations and transition to a big-time league, they've done it all. They've beaten Villanova. They've scored high. I mean, they have the athletes and the shooters and the style to make people want to watch them. And the reason for hating them is because they're not Nebraska, if you're honest with yourself about it. And from an intimidation standpoint, please throw that out the window if you're Nebraska. They're not going to be intimidated at all because of this UCLA game they've had, and they know who Creighton is. And if you're Ty Webster, brother, you've been wanting this your whole life, since traveling halfway across the world, from a guy that is supposed to be this NBA international ball freak show talent in a positive compliment way, okay? That's what he is. He's unstoppable sometimes to the rim, and he looked that way at moments against UCLA. Mm-hmm. He's looked like that in moments in his career. It's time for you to seize it. Don't put this all on Watson tonight for Nebraska. Ty, this is your game, but manage the emotion and play under control, because that's been the issue. Don't shrink in the moment. And Webster is a guy. I mean, how about that? You want to talk about season changer, or how about senior year maker? If you're Ty Webster, you go out and get 25-10, and you lead this team to an upset win over your hated in-state rival. I mean, it sets up perfect for you. It sets up absolutely perfect for you, and it's why you came here. It's what you were brought here to do. So come through with that. And speaking of emotions, Coach Miles touched on controlling those emotions, because I think they're pretty high, extremely high, on the Nebraska end.
I think you're just honest with them about, we have to do our job. We're not going to be somebody we're not. It's just not going to, there's not a magic wand. There's no pixie dust that we can sprinkle around and all of a sudden become something different. So let's just play to our strengths. Let's try and eliminate theirs, and then let's make some plays to win the game.
If they don't get off to a good start, they're going to start pressing, and then they're going to unravel. I mean, that's the A, B, and C tonight, and I'm anxious to see what shakes out.
I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot with this one. You have that UCLA game is just kind of intriguing to me, because UCLA just beat the bricks off of Kentucky this last weekend, and they were the best team, you know, number one team in the nation. In Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska easily could have won that basketball game. I know it was in a weird setting, almost like a high school gym-esque setting. Not that many people, so I get maybe UCLA where
sleepy
they were coming
atmosphere,
right,
it's
exactly
Nebraska,
late,
screw
at 9:30 tip. I get that side of things, but. It's just, you know, besides saying what does Nebraska have to do, obviously score more points, but it's playing that efficient look. It's getting good looks. It's not forcing it. It's Morrow
banning the scoring drought.
Right, exactly. It's Morrow kicking it out and trying to split double teams down there. And we just got to shoot well from the outside. That's just this team. I tell you what, we have guys that can penetrate with Webster and guys that can get to the rack. But it's when you do that and you kick it out for those open looks, we got to make them. Whether it's McVay, those guys. You have to take advantage of those looks.
Gill, come on down.
Whoever. But that's just how are you going to deal with their athleticism and the tempo? But it'll be very, very interesting. I expect a pretty good game. It's just whether or not they can hang with them for 40 minutes, man. Because this is Jay Billis said last night, he wouldn't be surprised if Creighton's a Final Four basketball team. They're that good.
No, there's that much love for Creighton because of this lineup, this athleticism. And how about the versatility? I mean, that's really the thing that can cut you off at the knees is they have so many different ways to beat you. But it'd be really cool to get Mo Watson in foul trouble tonight if you're Nebraska, because without him, where's their answer? Where's their response? Where's their straw in their Jack and Coke? I mean, that's kind of the key for me. Other things can happen, too. It's their first true road test for Creighton. Mm-hmm. And is that a factor? Is that something they're batting an eye at? Are they thinking about it if you're Creighton? Because Nebraska, you got to make them feel it. The crowd does, and then you got to feed into and feed off of the energy tonight, because it can happen. You're not far removed, some of you, from No Sit Sunday. I mean, you've been in – the program's been recently in big games like
and
this.
And luckily it's an 8
o'clock. And they've delivered a couple times.
Luckily it's an 8 o'clock tip. Can you imagine a 6:30, people rolling in late from work, and a chance to get a few beers at Longwell's,
you got an hour and a half to invite, baby.
Exactly. So you get the cocktails flowing. You get all that good beer rolling in the veins.
You're telling me you want to see the reenactment from the fans of Slapshot, where they're just cranked up and mainlining.
Why not? It should be hostile as hell. You think so? All those people that hate the J-Sker, you know? It should be hostile as hell. Yep. You think.
Ultimate J-Sker hate week.
Yeah.
Jay, you brought up the UCLA game, and if you remember watching back to that game, obviously Nebraska slowed the tempo a lot, but they also were able to run when they chose to. And I think that's what they needed to do tonight. Yeah, on their terms. UCLA, number one offense in the nation, Creighton number five. So they're not far behind, averaging about 90 points a game. So Nebraska's going to have to do that same formula they did against UCLA. Be patient, but also look to run when you can.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. Coach Miles, priority versus Creighton. Again, Mo Watson, important tonight. Plenty of time to get in on Nebraska. Creighton, how do you feel about tonight? Do you feel an upset brewing, or is this going to be more of the same with an impressive and emphatic win by Creighton tonight because of just the difference in what they have roster-wise and how good they are? Andy Markowski coming up, and Coach Mack will join us next hour. Here is Coach Miles.
Well, Mo Watson is a one-man fast break. You know, and he is the essence of that transition and that speed. So you have to get to him somehow. And no, I'm not going to give you any game plan stuff. So you can quit asking how.
I would, again, get him four fouls in the first 90 seconds.
That'd be nice.
That's how it happens. Your chance at holiday goodies with HailVarsity.com. We will give you a chance coming up. A six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. We'll give one of those away, and the community with HailVarsity is lovely. The premium online subscribers, you get access to the message boards, some great stuff on the message boards, obviously premium content for you, the online subscriber, insider info, recruiting analysis, and, of course, breaking news, and it'll be yours 6 months free. The premium online subscription with HailVarsity.com. Can subscribe now. Get 30 days free if you just want to log on now. Go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Don't forget the holiday Hail Mary is going on. A caller six when you hear the hallelujah. Your chance at a Windows tablet 10, a Jet Splash car wash certificate, and a Auto Sounds car starter, which would be nice when it's 19 and but cold outside. Auto Sounds car starter valued at $449. So your job to listen and be caller six this hour, next hour. But it's Creighton, Nebraska. Excited about that. We'll talk some Tennessee, Nebraska shortly is Robert Keith Kessling, the Balls play-by-play man. And this is just great. You love this opportunity for Nebraska. That's the other side of this for me, too. It's not just the season-changer ability for this win tonight for Nebraska, but also the other chance you get confidence-wise. Because I think this team is playing with confidence. There's an expectation. They left Clemson PO'd. They left the UCLA game believing, and then the Virginia Tech game also PO'd. Both of those stick in their craw. Do they do something about it against a top 10 in-state rival that you're sick of hearing about? And honestly, you know what the feel is to me? Not that I've been spying or anything, but this game's so much bigger for Nebraska, and they feel that and know that, than Creighton. I don't think Creighton's, like, worried about it. I mean, based on how they performed against Nebraska, I don't think they feel danger. I think they're extremely confident. Creighton is. And there's no, and it's just Nebraska will be good. That's the vibe I sense from them. And they should feel that way. They've been really good. They've been dominant. They score. They run the floor. They dunk.
See what they can take care of the ball, though. Creighton is a little turnover.
And they need to box happy. Out people. So I'm talking about Easy Ed. Mm-hmm. Let's go Rodman tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Offensive rebounds. Go Rodman. Put back dunks.
Be everywhere.
Give me a little taunting. Let them know you're there. Jay Moore is here. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Tennessee football thoughts. Robert Keith Kessling next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Getting you ready just ahead. Nebraska-Creighton top 10 showdown for Nebraska. Former Husker Andy Markowski, Creighton coach, Coach Mack. Next hour, Bob Kessling, play-by-play voice of Tennessee. Rocky Top, Nebraska, Tennessee, very familiar with each other, late 90s. And Bob, thanks for the time. Appreciate you. How are you?
I'm great today. Thanks.
Well, let's get into this matchup a little bit and talk Tennessee as the Vols move forward based on expectations and how the finish of this year was, 2-2. What state's the program in right now as you see it and moving forward, getting ready for this bowl game?
Well, I think the most of the fans are disappointed. They had set the bar so high this year. And the state of the SEC East, Tennessee, I think, clearly had the best team going into the season now. Some other teams, Florida, won some big games. But still it was the fact that Tennessee had beaten the two teams it really had to beat. They thought to get to South to Atlanta for the championship game, and that was Florida and Georgia. And then so they're in the driver's seat. All they got to do is win out, and then they lost two really disappointing games to South Carolina and this last game to Vanderbilt. So I think a lot of Tennessee fans are hoping to see this team kind of turn it around and give them something to feel good about during the offseason. If they lose this game, I think there'll be a lot of people very, very disappointed in how this team performed.
Bob, you could argue that Nebraska and Tennessee are kind of in the same situation for the last decade or so. The coaching turnover, getting some good recruiting classes, but not getting the play on the field to equal that. What Nebraska fans are always talking about that hump to get over to get back to where those teams were back in the 90s. For Tennessee, what do you think that hump is to get them back up there to play in Atlanta and win in the SEC East every year?
Well, people thought this year you beat Florida. You hadn't beaten them in 11 years that you beat Florida, and that kind of could be the ticket to get there. I mean, I don't think anybody realistically came to the season thinking that, you were hoping, but you didn't think that Tennessee was going to beat Alabama. And you knew that the game at Texas A&M was going to be a tough one. So you start out 5-0. The expectations are through the roof. You win dramatic games against App State and against Georgia, and so you're thinking maybe there's a little magic to this team. And so they lose the tough game at Texas A&M in overtime. And then, of course, Alabama has beaten the heck out of everybody this year. So losing that game didn't really startle too many people. But I still think that the South Carolina game, nobody saw that coming. South Carolina's playing a quarterback, a freshman who really is playing in his – he played the week before – But he's supposed to be a senior in high school. So an 18-year-old freshman comes in there and beats you, and that got everybody pretty upset. And then, of course, the Vanderbilt game, they got outscored in the second half 21-3, and nobody saw that coming. And so I think this team is in a point now where, and the program's in a situation now that there's plenty of pressure on Butch Jones to get this thing turned around and get them headed back in the right direction. Now, with all that being said, they were just devastating injuries that hit this team, and they lost some key players. If you would have started the season and saying, okay, what players on defense could you not afford to lose? You would have said Darren Kirkland Jr., middle linebacker, Cam Sutton, the cornerback, and then Jalen Reese-Maven, another linebacker who's really the heart and soul of the defense. Well, they lost all three of those guys early, and they were out for significant parts of the season. I think Kirkland missed 6 or 7 games, and Jalen Reese-Maven was out for the rest of the year, and Cam Sutton just came back the last 2 games. So they were mixing and matching and putting guys in different spots. The offensive line, they lost 4 linemen in the Alabama game, so they were playing different guys that probably should. They took a red shirt off one guy, Marcus Tatum, a tackle, just because they had nobody else to play. So the injuries played a part, that's for sure. And they had a lot of guys that had 2 players just quit the team, Preston Williams and Jalen Hurd, who are outstanding offensive players, and they just walked away. So there are a lot of things that that you were hoping this could be that season, and you thought it was going to be when you were 5-0, and it just kind of – it unraveled in the second half of the season. So we'll see if they can get it stitched back up and ready to go up against Nebraska.
You mentioned Williams and Hurd, Bob. Why did that happen? Kids quit. You have expectations, more and more expectations for young kids who come in. Some of them not realistic, but it's in their own mind. How does that happen at this point in a program with this type of start? I mean, it just seemed like an awful storm for 2 kids, 2 big-time players to quit like that. Mm-hmm. And what's your reasoning, what's your theory behind it?
Well, I think the Preston Williams situation was like most guys not getting the ball enough. You know, you're not featuring me in the offense. You're not letting me show my skills. The Jalen Hurd situation is still puzzling, I think, to everybody. And nobody's really heard from Jalen to get his side of things, and Butch Jones has been very tight-lipped about it. I mean, here's a young man that had a chance to become the all-time leading rusher in Tennessee history in his junior year, then suddenly just walks away. And I mean, it was a sudden thing. And again, Jalen hasn't talked to anybody. He's talked about transferring to another school to play tight end or wide receiver, but we haven't heard anything from him. He showed up at a couple of games and sat in the student section. But I don't know. Jalen was a very different type guy. And when he would talk to you, he was engaging and really nice. But he would never show up for post-game interviews. He would never show up for media availabilities during the week. And he did not like criticism. You could say that. If somebody wrote something that he found to be very critical, then he would just ignore the media totally, and that's what he's done. So we haven't really heard his side of the story. I'm sure it'll come out one day, but he just decided when to walk away. So it's very rare for a great player just to walk away from a football team in midseason. And if he thinks that's going to endear himself to the NFL guys, I think he's mistaken there too.
How's Dobbs going to be remembered as a quarterback at Tennessee?
I think he's going to be remembered as a guy that is one of the most dual-threat guys that Tennessee's had. He's the all-time leading. We've had some great running quarterbacks here, Condridge Holloway and Jimmy Streeter, Heath Shuler, just to name a couple of them. And he's zoomed past all of them in total rushing yards for a quarterback, single season, rushing touchdowns, and all those type things. When he ran the ball and passed the football, Tennessee was an awfully difficult team to stop. And they put up, you know, even this year in the losses, Tennessee still put a lot of points on the board. And if you go back and look at the production, last year they set a rushing record for a season. This year Yeah, you know, the problem this year hadn't been the offense, it's been the defense. Mm-hmm. They just had a hard time stopping anybody. But Dobbs is a guy that has invested in the program, a three-year starter, and gets out in the community. He was up, you know, he had these horrible fires up in Gatlinburg, just a couple, you know, about 35, 40 minutes away from here. Just devastated the town, all the cabins and up in the mountains and those type things. And Dobbs and a bunch of the athletes went up there and spent the day, you know, passing out water and Gatorade and helping out where they could. So he's been a very well-rounded student. There's never been one peep of controversy with him. Never one time that has he done the wrong thing. He always shows up after games to face the music. He always says the right thing about his teammates. His teammates love him. I think it's going to, you know, but quarterbacks are judged on championships. And unfortunately, when Dobbs took over the program, Tennessee was in no position to win a championship. And regretfully now, I think he's going to be viewed as the guy that couldn't beat South Carolina and Vanderbilt to get Tennessee to a championship. You hope that maybe that if this program is, you know, does get it going back the right direction here very, very shortly, that Dobbs will be given a lot of credit for getting the foundation built. Because when he came here, the program was really, you know, they'd gone through all the coaching changes, and the roster was depleted. But Dobbs came here on a leap of faith with Butch Jones, and it's paid off that he's played a lot of football and has been really, really good. But you hope that maybe he gets credit for setting the foundation for Tennessee going forward with Butch Jones.
Vols play-by-play man Bob Kessling with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bob, got about 2 minutes here. Your thoughts on what makes Butch Jones so dynamic? You've had amazing recruiting classes. You've had increase in win totals. And if you hit nine in the Music City Bowl, you'll be back-to-back nine win seasons. So you're trending the right way, even though there's some voices out there that are happy with where Tennessee's at. But why is he so dynamic in the living room, and how's he been able to land so many talented classes?
Well, he's been able to sell playing time. When he first came to Tennessee, that was his big selling point. We don't have any players. You got a chance, if you're good enough, to come in right away and play, and that's very attractive to players. The next step for Butch Jones is to now develop depth, and I think he's touched on that this year. You know, when they had all these devastating injuries, you need guys that can step in and play, and so obviously the drop-off was pretty significant from some of the guys that he was putting in there. Now they're talented, but they're inexperienced. The great programs, and Nebraska was like this for years and years and years, you lose a guy and you plug somebody else in. That's where Tennessee's got to get to. They've got to have this quality depth like Alabama and Ohio State and those folks. They lose a player and they just roll in another All-American in there. So that's where Tennessee has to get to. And I think Butch is a relentless recruiter, and he does that. And he understands that if you're going to win in the Southeastern Conference, you better have great players, and not just a few of them. You better have a bunch of them. He firmly believed that his top 22 guys this year could play with anybody in the country. When he lost those guys, a bunch of those guys, then he found out that maybe the depth wasn't quite as good as he thought it was. And that's where he's got to get to. They got to get better depth all the way across the board. But I think a lot of programs can say that.
Bob, 30 seconds in a word. How do you describe Nebraska?
You know, I guess now looking at them, that they go as their quarterback goes, they go. So if Armstrong's going to, is he kind of like Tennessee and Josh Dobbs? If Armstrong has a big day, Nebraska's hard to beat. But if he struggles, it looks like Nebraska has a problem too moving the football.
Bob Kessling, play-by-play voice, Tennessee. Bob, we'll hope to see you down there. Thanks for a few minutes today, and appreciate your time.
Okay, great, guys. Thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, right, Bob.
Bob Kessling with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, play-by-play voice of Tennessee. Rocky Top, he's been doing that since 1999. Great insight. We talked about Hurd, about Preston leaving, two studs they had, the Dobbs question, and you got mirror images with two programs trying to fix what went wrong in 16. A jock doc coming up. Next up, the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment with Mike Shuhart on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Generally, just a, yeah, not a great guy on a golf course.
Yeah, that is Coach Tim Miles from the press conference about the Creighton-Nebraska golf death match. And he's calling Mac not a great guy on the golf course, a amazing man on the golf course.
Mac can play. There's no way Tim's beating Mac. I know that for...
Shuey, Mike Shuhart, awesome guy on the golf course. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment in December, because why not? We all want warm weather. We want better swing. Shuey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's even better. You just go down there, you rent those heated bays out at Wilderness Ridge in the south side of the range, working your game. Say hi to Shuey when you walk by there, because he'll be teaching someone. He's busiest man alive. So
he's all over it. You see Shuey, you see Chris Thompson, PGA professional. Membership benefits, membership pricing. It screams holiday gift idea to me.
Yeah, they are.
All the way.
WildernessRidgeGolf.com.
And they're doing a membership drive.
Get a zip
drive,
up in a polo.
Like, yeah.
Okay, tell me about the drive.
Yeah, we got a membership drive going on. It was supposed to be tonight, but because of the game, they're going to do it tomorrow night.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a great deal. Members that, you know, previous members have a chance to come in, renew their membership. You know, if there's interested parties out there that are looking to become members, I mean, come on, stop on by 6:30 tomorrow night.
Well, cocktail hour, it sounds like.
Cocktail, hors d'oeuvres, and just kind of hanging out. And
I'm going.
We'll be there. Talking golf, man.
You have to buy a membership, though.
No, I'm going for the cocktail hour. I'm going to be coerced into a membership.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. If you're there enough, you might as well get one.
Another Blanton's.
Yeah, why not? Hey, Shu, I want to thank you for what people seen on Twitter. I know Chris tweeted out something with Hail Varsity, so they seen it, and that was a lot of fun what we did on Monday with the PGA Professional Summit, man. That had a blast, the hour we did, and seeing everyone and doing it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. We try to do that. You know, we do that every year, and we put together some different topics and different things, you know, about golf and within our section and what's going on, and give guys the opportunity to listen and talk to a lot of different people in the section about different ideas, you know, not only from teaching and coaching, you know, from junior golf, you know, to all kinds of different aspects of it. Club fitting, that was a big part of that, you know, kind of the aspects of it. So it's great information. It's great to do. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
I put Jay up on the up in the monitor, man. He was on display up there. He handled
it kind of
nice.
Well, it's kind of a lot of pressure. You got, you know, 20 some other PGA professionals in there, and Scott Gucheski, who's on tour forever, and you're just like, and I played enough golf with Gooch, so it's that wasn't a problem. It's like, geez,
so what,
you know,
type of show and tell did we have here?
So we talked
with
a lot about
swing with
Well, I've been working with Shu for a couple years now.
Yeah,
and just what's real.
You
got to
show
feel.
You off.
Well, it's real versus feel, and in the golf swing, and how you can't just have one cookie cutter golf swing for every single person. You got to try to get them, and it's, people feel things different. You got to have multiple things, and I've got, you know, that's just the cool things, all the stuff I'd worked with him. What we went from when I first saw him to what I feel now, and to what I had to feel to get it to where it is now, and it's just not everyone can do that, and that's why he's one of the best.
Well, Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, of course, the membership drive tomorrow night, 6:30, Wilderness Ridge. Listen, something you got to do because you want to do it, and it is right up your alley holiday season-wise. Shuey, we spent a lot of time this month talking Tiger between November and into December.
Yeah.
And how far off you think Tiger is? What do you think of his performance?
Kind of what we talked about. He basically, I kind of said I thought he'd play a pretty decent round. I thought he'd play a couple average rounds, and I thought he'd play a bad round. He pretty much did that. He had one spectacular round. You know, his last round wasn't all that good, you know, and his other rounds were pretty decent, you know. A lot of encouraging signs of what he did, you know. Hell, he led that week in birdies. I mean, he made the most 24. Birdies out of everybody there, so... I mean, when he's good, he's good. You know, he did make the most doubles out of everybody there. So when he's
six.
Bad, he's
I know
he's
what that's
bad.
Like sitting in this room.
But that's kind of to be expected. I mean, man, as long as he was off, you know, I mean, a little rusty in there, going to do some things, you know. And it's kind of, I think, where his game is. I mean, some of the things that he struggled with, that he, you know, his pitching, chipping the golf ball was a little bit shaky there. When he tried to come back that first time, man, it looked pretty solid, you know.
And it's a hard place to chip, too, all the grain. That is, people don't understand how hard that is. People want to bag on him, but when you got grain into you, oh, it is
it's pretty
super
tough.
Hard.
So he handled that pretty well. You know, his driver's still a little bit of an issue. You know, he gets a little trouble.
Did he get the confidence he set out to get?
I think so. I think with a lot of the positive things that he did, it far outweighed the negative. And I don't think there was any way it could have been a negative, only if he would have just fallen flat on his face. Sure. But he didn't. He shot the low round of the day, the one round. He led
65.
Yeah, he led in birdies. So it's like he gained tons of confidence that where he's going, what he's trying to do, and, you know, getting back, it's like he showed tons of promise in his ability to produce and get where he wanted to be.
I thought his iron swing looked awesome. His driver's swing still looked like he was still saving it from a little bit going right. But his iron swing, I thought, the way he played par threes and everything else, I mean, it was it was really nice to me. From what I see, obviously you know a little more than I do.
And it was pretty – I mean, if you watched him because – man, you watched him the whole time, man. That camera was on that poor dude. Mm-hmm. Every shot he hit, I felt bad for him because, like, every single shot he hit, it was being – looked at, it was being analyzed, and it was like, wow. But if you watch him, this is still where he's got to work, in my opinion anyway, is that you watch him on the range, he looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
His tempo is awesome. His sequencing of his golf swing is really good on the range. And again, just any golfer, it's harder to carry that onto the golf course. And, you know, he gets a little off, you know, he gets a little harder on the golf course. He gets a little this, a little that. But, you know, his iron swing typically was pretty good. I mean, it carried over pretty nice. You know, and he's still adapting. You know, I'm a firm believer is that, you know, I watch his golf swing and I watch what he does, and it's like it's different than it used to be. And a lot of that was just because I think it physically has to be, because he has some limitations now that he never had before. He still wants to do what he used to do, but his limitations prevent him from being able to do that. And it's just like anything. I think he's starting to get an understanding of what that is, his golf swing again. You know, his new golf swing of what it has to be, you know. But his mind still likes to do what it used to. And it's like sometimes
he's got to commit to that adjustment, right? Yeah.
He's got to learn it, though. He's got to learn it. Yeah. That's the key thing. He's got to learn it, you know. And you only learn it by doing it. And doing it in practice is one thing. Doing it in competition, in certain situations, the things you need to do is a whole other thing. You know, one of the things that probably I think somebody made light of it just a little bit is that, like 18, he kept hitting the water on 18 no matter what. But I'll give him credit, man. He kept trying to hit the same shot. Sometimes that's not right. It's like that's kind of the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome. But he kept trying to hit a cut shot off of that tee, man, and it just wouldn't cut. That's why he kept hitting it in the water. But I think part of that was him testing himself, that trying to figure out, how can I do this? I need to do this. You know, so in a way, the tournament that he played was not so much about him going out there and winning the golf tournament. It was about him testing himself to produce shots and to produce the things that he knows eventually he needs to be able to do. Can I do this? Can I do this? And he kept trying to do that.
Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Should we hang on?
I will.
Caller 6 now at premium online subscription to Hail Varsity. Caller 6-466-3776-800. 825-5865, caller 6 now for the online HaleVarsity.com subscription.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HaleVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment, so good. Mike Shewhart, Shuey hanging out for a few more minutes. Safe driving and demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Andy Markowski, 10 minutes away. Husker standout, his thoughts on Nebraska-Creighton. And then Coach McDermott of Creighton will be with us. That conversation we had with him around 5:25.
So, saw something kind of crazy the other day. Embracing DeChambeau, you already know he's kind of a little off his rocker. The one single length iron, just doing some different things. But side saddle putting. People aren't familiar with it. You stand facing at the hole, and almost like you were rolling the ball with your right hand. You kind of have the putter up your right forearm. Almost like you're rolling the ball facing the hole. People say it's very natural.
Did frowned upon?
Well, very few have done it. Very, very few.
I'm going to try it.
I mean, but it's just, man, I don't know. He is.
You both look at me like, are you sure? Well, you haven't seen me putt.
Hey,
something's better than the current.
If we knew about golf and what golf in the past, you know, Sam Snead.
Yes, that's one of the guys. He tried it.
I mean, he basically putted between his legs until they outlawed it. So they made it illegal. No straddling the line. You can't straddle the line like croquet. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. So it's like, well, basically, because you can make everything. If you get it really good, I mean, it is.
Up
you can make
is
everything.
Up next is the pool cue. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Uh-huh. So then but they outlawed it, so Sam Snead went side saddle, you know, but years ago. Well, it kind of it faded away with him because nobody continued to do it. Well, Bryson is he's a very, very unique individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a genius. He's a physicist, mm-hmm. all of this mm-hmm. stuff. So, and he's into the golf and the mechanics and the things about it.
Engineering
head.
Mind.
That's
yeah.
just
yeah.
how he sees things. Well, the engineering part of how it works makes sense to him mm-hmm. because it is an advantage. And how he looks at it from the engineering part of it, the physics part of it, how it works, how it functions. So, and that dude is not afraid to
obviously yeah.
to look at it that way and go, man, this gives me an advantage on the rest of the field. I'm going to do this.
I'm smarter than you, and I'll figure out a better way to do it.
Exactly.
Kind of the vibe.
That's what he is. That's how he thinks, and that's how he believes. And it's like if you watch him play, it's
– how's the rest of the tour take to that?
See, it'll be interesting. That dude can play, man. I mean, you look at what he did last year. Man, he was right there at the Masters.
Yeah, as
he was
an
right
amateur,
there in a lot. He's had an unbelievable career. And if what he's doing starts to take off – you're going to see some other guys.
Especially guys that struggle
putting. I see you
putting.
Two on 18 side saddling.
No.
No.
Never. Not
the thing is you can't – where I don't even know where you can find a putter to be able to do that. There's not too many manufacturers out there that even have those
no,
made.
I mean, they're out there.
They're out. No, I know.
You
got
to find them.
What is it? The one putt?
One putt? Yeah. There's some out there. You got to look and find
one
it.
One putt. It's J-U-A-N putt. One putt.
And then you got to work with it long enough to make it work.
Yeah, it'd be,
you know, the physics and the principles
it.
Behind it make sense
because it's, I understand it, but it's just yeah, I don't know.
And just like the single length iron, I mean, you're going to see you got his company's coming out; they're putting them on the market.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
there we go. We don't have a one putt in this for you, but we do have your chance at the holiday Hail Mary, Windows 10 tablet, car wash certificate. Auto Sounds, qualify now, caller 6, the Holiday Hail Mary, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Radiohead combined. Caller 6, 466-3776 right now.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back to it, hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Nebraska Creighton, getting you set, Greg McDermott, our conversation with him in about 20 minutes. Welcome in the pride of Ord, Husker standout Andy Markowski with us to share his thoughts on the ballgame tonight, the week for Nebraska, and the season to this point. Andy, how you doing? Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, doing great, Chris and Jay. How are you guys?
We're awesome, man. Excited about the opportunity tonight is I guess, the view that you hope Nebraska fans have. I think the team is anxious and kind of jacked for the opportunity. What do you see tonight with this opportunity for Nebraska? How are you labeling it? Are you categorizing it? Or is it just another ball game?
Well, I think this is a big week for our program, for Nebraska. Not that if they lose two games, the season's over, but, you know, they certainly need some momentum. This is you know, the one big non-conference game at home that I think can energize the fan base going into a conference season. You have a young team, I think a team that's capable of putting a solid season together. But up to this point, you know, haven't found a way to win close games. And this is a, you know, a great opportunity to play You know, a very good Creighton team. You know, the one rival Nebraska basketball probably has at home. So I do think this is a really big game and a big week for a young team to try to build some momentum, not only for themselves, but for a fan base.
Creighton's a very tempo-focused basketball team. They like to get up down the floor. Do you foresee similar game plan to the UCLA game, slowing it down a little bit, push it when we can? Does Nebraska need to do that tonight against Creighton?
Yeah, I certainly think, you know, if you're going to play at Creighton's pace, Nebraska's at a disadvantage. However, I do think we have the guards to take advantage and score in transition when those opportunities create themselves. I think we have to get to the free throw line. That's a way that you can slow the game. However, Creighton, doesn't foul. They do a very good job defensively of playing kind of a gap scheme, contest shooters, not give up a lot of second chance. But I do think we have an advantage in the paint. With Hansen being out, I think their Patton's got a big reputation now. But he's not as tough or doesn't play as hard as Morrow. I think that is a matchup that Nebraska has to win. So if we can win in the paint, get to the free throw line and try to take them out of their conversion opportunities and play the game in the 70s, that gives Nebraska the best chance to win.
Is Nebraska's kind of mode going in tonight? Can they be the tougher team, be physical? Am I all wet or am I somewhat on track thinking Creighton's a little more finesse than physical?
Well, I think Creighton has some tough players. I mean, Watson and certainly Foster are upperclassmen that bring a physical toughness. Zierden, so toughness isn't always, say, line up and get into a fist fight. But Nebraska has to be disciplined enough to make things hard on Creighton, to fight through screens, to get, 50-50 balls. I mean, those are the tough plays that Nebraska is going to have to make. And hopefully, being at home with that home energy, you can make 8 to 10 of those 50-50 plays that could tilt, the game in your favor. But to say Creighton's finesse and not tough, I think is inaccurate. But you certainly have to fight them tooth and nail and make things hard for them offensively. This is their first road game. On paper, I don't think their wins are as good as what maybe they were. Ole Miss, got hammered by Middle Tennessee State. NC State went on the road and lost by 15 to Illinois. So a couple of their wins, I don't think is as impressive as maybe what Nebraska's schedule has been. So you hope them being on the road for the first time in a tough environment can maybe slow them down and make them, miss a few open shots and give Nebraska a chance.
How did you treat Creighton? How do you think Nebraska's treating Creighton tonight?
Well, they were irrelevant, when I was there. They snuck up on us in 96, beat us there. For the first win in I think 5 years. My senior year, they were favored over us at home, and I think they were 25th in the country coming off a win against Iowa, and we beat them by 19. So they were not even on our radar. Obviously, that's changed. They certainly have had the more success than we have had over the last decade. But if you look, I think the home team's won 9 of the last 11. So it's not as, maybe dominated as Creighton is what the perception is. However, they're 4 in a row. I think this is an important game to for the fan bases that are certainly split in this state. And I think for the first time, I think our players in the program now are recognizing this as a rivalry. I don't think Doc and Barry ever embraced it. I think Tim does. And I think the guys in this locker room are putting a little extra motivation, energy into this game than maybe what's happened under the last two coaches.
Andy, do you foresee Miles continuing to tweak the lineup? You kind of see mixing and matching guys, and he's wanted to do that to get these young guys live reps. Do you, in this a game like this, do you see him, constant changing, mixing guys, or he's going to try to find some of his work and he's going to stick with it?
Yeah, his tweaking has been. I think if you asked him off record, he would tell you he doesn't want to tweak. He just has not been able to find another player. McVay and Gill and Taylor have been disappointments up to this point. He needs. You look at Roby. he needs one or two of those guys to find the role and start playing with some consistency, or this team is really going to struggle. So tonight, I think he's going to have a pretty short leash, because if you break down in the defensive assignment tonight, it's going to be a three. So the group that he puts out there is going to have to be pretty cohesive, is going to have to be able to communicate, going to have to recognize screening sequences, know where shooters are at. So I don't know what he'll do, but the group that he plays tonight, I think will probably be smaller than his rotation in the past, just because, you know, one defensive mistake is going to be 3 points against a team like Creighton. Who that is, you know, I'm sure practice this week has showed that. But a guy like Roby could really help Nebraska score in the high 70s. I think he's the one offensive kid that could go get a couple baskets in this game, which will be important as well.
What's Ty need to do tonight?
I think if Glenn and Ty stay out of foul trouble, we have a chance to be competitive. I like Creighton's defensive matchups better than us. I think Thomas is going to go to Ty. If you look at, I think the Watsons will match up against each other. I don't think Glenn is as good of a defender as Maurice. So that concerns me a little bit, that I think offensively our guards are as good as their guards, but I think defensively with Thomas, they have the ability to put a defensive stopper on one of our two. But if Glenn and Ty don't play well, I don't think they have to score 20 each, but they have to take care of the ball and control the tempo, stay on the floor, be leaders. If that's the case, I think Vegas certainly thinks it's going to be a competitive game, and I do too.
Few more minutes, Eddie Markowski, standout Husker, Hail Varsity Radio, and you look at those matchups. Let's go back to UCLA. And what can you pay forward from that game, if anything, other than they're number two in the country right now? I mean, teaching moments are super key, and you have a rival that's ranked this high coming in and KU waiting. How do you tap into that if you're Coach Miles?
Well, Nebraska, like you said, I certainly think they've played a schedule to get them ready. I think UCLA is similar in the sense of they played, five really skilled players that could spread the floor and make you defend at five spots. And I think Nebraska held up pretty well in doing that. I think the takeaway of that game is, we had an opportunity with McVay and Gill that had shots to really make that a competitive finish, and we were unable to make those shots. So, I think you talk about being confident at home, playing it possession by possession, doing your defensive rule, trusting your teammates, certainly taking care of the basketball tonight. If Creighton, I think they're shooting 50% from the two and 46% from the three. I mean, remarkable numbers. So certainly, you have to take it possession by possession, take care of the basketball, win in the paint, get to the free throw line. And if Nebraska does those things, I think it'll come down to the last 3 minutes, and Nebraska's going to have to find a way to win a close game.
Andy, this is a pretty pretty crazy week. Obviously, two top 10 matchups back to back, Creighton and I at KU. A week like this, listen, I mean, no one is expecting Nebraska to get two wins this week.
You're
but,
not?
No.
Come on,
there
Bird.
There might be some people out there.
TJ's got the all red suit going, yeah.
No one's around for the moral, the moral victory things, but can Nebraska gain something out of these two games, even if they do lose heading into Big Ten play?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what a great week to be a student athlete, right? I mean, you're going to play in an unbelievable environment tonight. You get a chance to go down and play in, I don't know, top five, if not one of the top two game day atmospheres in college basketball. This is why, these kids were recruited in Nebraska. This is why, you're a student athlete. You know that. I mean, big games are exciting. So absolutely, there's positive takeaways, on whatever happens in these two games. But certainly, being competitive, is getting old. And I think, that's the message coming from Tim and his staff is, it's great that we've been in a lot of games, but this program and these teams have to start finding a way to win these games. And certainly tonight would be the most winnable. It's not going to be easy to go down and win at Kansas. But both of these games get you ready for the league. I like our talent. I think this is the most talented team that our program has had in over a decade. I don't like our experience. I think, you know, that has shown out in losing a couple of these non-conference games late. But if you can keep this nucleus together and have a solid season this year, this is an NCAA-caliber group. But certainly a win against the top 10 team at Creighton tonight would just springboard their confidence in the fan base and give them energy going into Christmas break and the start of conference.
You won in Lawrence, didn't you?
We swept them in 98-99.
What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, they certainly... it wasn't a top 10 Kansas team. I think they were.
Oh, lie to me. Tell me they were number one.
But if I remember right, I was out stomping on the Jayhawk at center court during part of the celebration.
Love it.
So I probably didn't win with the most class. But anyway, no, it was fun. And we were down 9 or 10. So the win was, you know, was fairly unexpected that we had to kind of dig deep and come back and beat them. But then they caught us in the conference tournament and beat us by 26 later in the year. So maybe we woke the sleeping giant.
Yeah, maybe they did. I remember that Big 12 tournament game. But no, I remember you guys sweeping down there. I remember winning in Lawrence back to 98-99. And it was pretty awesome. Husker standout, Pride of Ord, Andy Markowski with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Lastly, Andy, just a quick thought from you on Coach Mack and Coach Miles and how their relationship plays into this rivalry, because it's competitive, but it's friendly, and I think that's unique, and I think it's a really nice side note / bullet point to tonight.
Yeah, you know, they're two guys that, to be honest, if you know, most coaches, you know, end up coaching at the level that they played. But you know, I know Greg played Division I basketball, but both of them started when I was at South Dakota. Greg was at Wayne State, and Miles was at Southwest Minnesota State. So I've been able to follow their careers. But these guys started, you know, at jobs that nobody else wanted, and have built themselves up to the level they're at today. And every year they kind of, you know, McDermott has always been a little bit ahead of Tim in terms of where he was at in his programs. And I think that's why Tim's record is what it is against Greg. I don't think they've ever had equal teams. A lot of times when they've played, McDermott has always had the program in a little bit better shape than when Tim's team has played them. But yeah, it's awesome to see that in a competitive space of college athletics that, you can take a step back and have friendships, and, you know, I know Tim roots for Greg, and Greg roots for Tim's success, with the exception of tonight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the staffs know each other. And, that, you know, that relationship and bond will go beyond, you know, when they're done coaching as well. So I've enjoyed following the success of both of them, because they, you know, they were at the level that, you know, I was an assistant. They were head coaches. But I've had a chance to see what they've been able to do. And they've built programs the hard way in places that were hard to win in. But For Tim's sake, you know, Greg's had the been able to talk trash for the last decade, and I think Tim would like to get a win here to calm some of that chatter.
Andy Markowski, Husker standout, and Pride of Ord with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks for the insight and the knowledge on Nebraska tonight. Appreciate your time, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
take care, Andy Markowski with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Amazing thoughts from him, and that's a little nugget there, stomping on the poor little Jayhawk in midcourt.
Well, who was those 98? That was
post, Lou.
Like post, like Jock Vaughn Kansas teams, right?
Yeah.
Jock was more like mid-90s, right?
Jock was, I think, early to mid-90s. The thing, though, with that 98-99 team, they were a 20-win team, and they got screwed. They were one of the first four out of the NCAA tournament. You sweep Kansas, and then they got whacked by 26. You had Belcher, and I think that might have been post-Lou, the year after Lou. Coach McDermott up next here on Hail Varsity Radio.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Nebraska Creighton, and Coach Greg McDermott, kind enough to give us a few minutes. Coach, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate your time, and take me through your expectations. Talented roster, really, really solid lineup, but the numbers you guys are putting up are incredible. The style of play, impressive, exciting, and you're on a roll right now. Look, there's a lot of athletes. This team can be really good, but have they exceeded where you think they could be at this point?
I think any coach that would say that we haven't exceeded wouldn't be truthful, simply because our offensive numbers have been incredible. I don't know that I've ever coached a team that has gone 8 games in a row shooting over 50%, let alone to start the season. So, you know, I've been pleased. I knew we had some talent, obviously. I've been pleased with the fact that they've learned to play with the pace that we want them to play with, and that on a lot of occasions we're turning down good shots and we're getting a better shot. And, you know, when you have guys that can score the basketball the way that we do, if they'll play in an unselfish manner, you have a chance to do something special. And so far, so good, but we have a long ways to go.
How do you get across being unselfish? It's a great idea, but not everybody wants to listen.
Well, I think it starts with your point guard. And, you know, Maurice Watson is, you know, he was an All Big East player last year. He was preseason on the first team All Big East and on some preseason All American charts. Yet he's a very willing passer. You know, he's second in the country in assists right now, and you know, he'd just as well get an assist as he would score a basket. And when your leader sets the tone like that, I think it's hard for anybody else on the team to not follow suit and fall in line with that. So a lot of that credit goes to Maurice. And, you know, Marcus, although he can score, you know, he had 3 assists, no turnovers the other night against Akron, and made a couple of nice plays with the ball. So, you know, as long as we continue to share the basketball and move the basketball, obviously there's going to be some nights your shots don't go in at the rate you'd like them to, but I like our chances if we continue to move the ball.
A few minutes with Coach McDermott here on Hale Varsity Radio. Now, from a tempo standpoint, that's so key. And are you do you ever get panicked at all with just too much tempo, getting out of control, that gray area, that happy medium with pace but also control?
Well, there is a fine line there of, you know, we want to play fast, but we don't necessarily want to be in a hurry, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And, you know, we had a couple turnovers early in the Akron game where we're throwing the pass ahead, sometimes a three-quarter court pass. But I also think that sends a message to the defense, like, hey, we're going to come every time, we're going to look for this, so you better be ready. And if you're not, we're going to get an easy one. And you know, Justin Patton does such a great job running the floor. And when you have a big kid that can run like that, that can put pressure on the rim, you know, you have to protect that first. So, you know, obviously it starts with our point guard, our transition game. But without Justin's ability to run and willingness to run, things don't fall in line the way they have so far.
Tell me a little bit more about Justin, specifically his maturity. As young as he is, he seems pretty locked in.
It's been incredible, really, Chris. You know, we made the decision a year ago to redshirt him, which, you know, looking back on it, could have we won 2 or 3 more games had we played him? Possibly. But we just felt that he needed a year in the weight room to work on strength and conditioning, to work on his nutrition, to learn to understand how you have to approach the game on a daily basis from a work ethic standpoint. And, you know, while we could have used him last year, I'm not sure he would be the player he is today had we played him a year ago. So, you know, I'm really proud of him because he's improving in front of our eyes on a daily basis. And obviously his teammates have a lot of confidence in him and the things that he's doing to help our team be successful. But, you know, the kid's got a bright, bright future in the game of basketball, and he's a delightful young man. And, you know, his teammates love him, so that's been a lot of fun.
Marcus Foster is just so athletic, so aggressive, great range. His transition from transferring, take me through that process, how he fit into the Creighton family, and obviously it's working out, but that's never easy on a kid when he leaves and comes somewhere new.
No, and obviously we had to do some, you know, repairing of his image because, you know, he didn't act the way that he should have acted at Kansas State. And, you know, but we recruited Marcus out of high school. We knew his family well, and his family knew us and trusted us and felt like, you know, we were the people that maybe could get their son back on track. And, you know, knock on wood, but so far it's been great. You know, Marcus is doing the things he needs to do off the floor, you know, on the basketball floor. He's taken his body fat to 15% to 8%. While he loves to shoot jump shots, he's added the ability to get to the rim and, as a result, get to the free throw line to his game, and that just puts a lot of pressure on the defense. So, obviously I'm very pleased where he's at through eight games. He's a dynamic scorer. He can be an elite defender, and we need him to get better on that end of the floor. But, he's a special player, and he can score in a lot of ways.
What was your conversation with him when he was coming in?
A lot of it was with, his mom was here, and we just talked about, I'm recruiting the guy that I knew when he was a junior in high school, a guy that was hungry and wanted to work and wanted to get better and treated people the right way, and we need to get back to that guy. And fortunately for us, Marcus has been able to do that, and he's close with his teammates, and I think they've helped him get back on track. But he's not allowing outside distractions to impact some of the decisions he's making, like he did when he was at Kansas State. And, sometimes young guys have success so quick and they don't know how to handle it. And Marcus had an unbelievable freshman year at Kansas State. And I think if you would ask him now, I think he said a lot of that went to his head and he probably got away from some of the things that got him there. And fortunately for us, we've been able to get him back to those things.
Guy you know real well, Coach Miles, and a lot's made up of this matchup every year. And what's the Nebraska-Creighton game mean to you?
It's just a great game for our state. Basketball in the state, Tim and I would both like to see it continue to grow and continue to improve. And, there's AAU programs that are popping up that are spending more time and going to more national tournaments and getting kids more exposure and getting kids more interested in basketball. And then you combine that with the quality of high school coaching that we have in the state that's really, really good. So it's a fun game, I think, for our state. Obviously, when we come there and play, the arena's full. When they come here and play, the arena's full, and it's a great environment. It's why players play and coaches coach. You want to be in environments like that. And Tim's done a great job with this young team. I've been really impressed with the improvement of last year's freshman class, really across the board with Watson, Morrow, Jacobson have all improved, McVeigh. And then, Webster is playing at another level. So, they've had some near misses against some really good teams. So, obviously, we know we're going to have to come and play our A game on Wednesday if we expect to be successful.
The Dayton game, obviously, circled by a lot of Nebraska fans, but the showing against UCLA, who just took down Kentucky, you'll want to win those, but Nebraska was in it, and a near miss at Clemson, and then they got back on track against the Yotes on Saturday. A young team, what does Coach Miles do so well from your background and knowledge with him when it comes to teaching and getting young guys developed? What's impressed you with him when you look at some of those last year guys that are now sophomores, their growth?
Well,
what have you seen?
Having coached against him a long time, his players always improve. I think the job that they do from a development standpoint is off the charts and is always really, really good. And his teams are always very disciplined. They don't turn it over a lot. They're in the right spot defensively. They're not going to give you a lot of easy things at the rim, and they're going to try to make somebody different beat them rather than your main, maybe your primary scoring option and your second scoring option. They're going to try to make other guys do it. But he's done a terrific job, and as you mentioned, I think Virginia Tech is an NCAA tournament team. That was a 4-point game late. I think Clemson is an NCAA tournament team, and Nebraska had two or three shots to tie that game and send it into overtime. And you mentioned how good UCLA is. What they did to Kentucky, they weren't able to do that to Nebraska. So this is a team I think that is confident, and the leadership of Webster and Watson has been really, really good, and there's a lot of pieces there, and we've got to try to get the game playing at our tempo the best we can, and that's going to be easier said than done in their building.
What sticks out to you most about Nebraska's defense? That's kind of where they're hanging their hat.
Well, they're in the right spot. There aren't a lot of mental breakdowns on the defensive end of the court. They guard the dribble pretty well. If you get by them, there's protection at the basket, and they're going to make you make another pass and make a perimeter jump shot rather than get something easy at the rim. And, they're good in transition defense. They really stomp that fire out and make it difficult to score there. And obviously that's a big part of what we do. So, I think we're going to have to figure out different ways to score maybe what we've been able to do in the first eight games. And you know, this is our first true road game, and none of my five starters have ever played in the game at Nebraska. So it's going to be new for them as well.
Rebounding is going to be so key, and that was one of the things that there weren't a ton of offensive rebounds when looking back against Virginia Tech, but when they got them, they kicked it out for three. The glass, always key for a road win, always key for a home win. And what are some things that that you've emphasized glass-wise offensively and defensively as you head into this?
Well, we haven't been great on the backboards, especially the defensive backboards, and that's an area that's really important to us because it fuels our transition game. And without that defensive rebound, we can't go at the pace that we want to go at. And you know, too often, because we play quick on offense, you know, we end up shooting the basketball sometimes in 10 or 12 seconds or less, and then you end up defending for 30 seconds, and then you give up a rebound and you defend for another 30 seconds. So to coin a phrase from the football world, you know, that time of possession for us when we're on defense has been skewed the wrong direction too many games because we haven't taken care of the defensive glass. So hopefully we'll be better in that area. And, you know, we'll take shots on the offensive glass, but our goal is to get back at our defensive set and make sure we take away anything easy in transition.
Creighton and Nebraska coach Greg McDermott, and you can find him on Twitter at CU Coach Mac. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. Great to catch up with you. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Chris. Anytime.
Appreciate Coach Greg McDermott. A few minutes with us, caught up with us this week on Hail Varsity Radio. He's not at PBA talking to us, just to clarify. But it is Nebraska, it is Creighton, and it is big time tonight. Great opportunity for Nebraska, great opportunity for you this holiday season. See your friends at Sauter Heyman. See Rick. He is offering instant discounts when you walk in the door. He's offering you a free trip also with qualifying purchase. Vegas is much warmer than Lincoln. Cancun, ocean opportunity. And you get that qualifying purchase, can get a trip through December 31st. Only the best will do for her and get to Rick and Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west with your friends at Sauter Heyman in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. A Jock Doc coming up. We'll talk Seattle defense.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Thanks for hanging out. Great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday as we get you ready for Nebraska Creighton. Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, and fantasy football playoff time is around the corner. Some of you have dirtied wins all year because of your defense. Seattle's defense has been incredible. I will still smile and take credit for how the Chiefs, and I'll call them my Chiefs because they're getting me wins and points, have done from a defensive score standpoint. But Earl Thomas, man, one of the best in the game. Dr. Brandon, how you doing? And give me your thoughts here on this Thomas injury and the long-term effect. Man, it's pretty devastating.
You bet, Chris. We're doing great. Kind of a devastating injury for him. I know he's even kind of talked a little bit about maybe hanging it up after this. Bad injury. Obviously, the game film didn't look very good watching that either.
It didn't. Take us through the hit, where the break occurred, and specifically just his prognosis for return, even though at that point in time he was considering retirement.
Yeah, sure. You know, definitely an injury that's not very common in football. Everybody remembers the Joe Theismann injury, the tibia fracture that he had. This one, you know, was not an open fracture, at least as far as we know, but clearly it looked ugly on the film. But again, you have to get hit to have one of these. You know, fortunately, again, very rare injury. Bad part is, as an athlete, it's a very difficult one to recover from. Oftentimes, these are pretty memorable events for, you know, most of us spectators out there. You think Joe Theismann, you think the kid from Louisville a couple years ago. But going to be a long road for him. Obviously, it's something that needs to have surgery done to it. What they're calling it is a tibia fracture, which is essentially your shin bone. And that's one of the longer bones in your body, a bone that's difficult to control in an athlete like him unless you can fix it surgically. You could try some cast fixation to it, but that's a long, difficult process and obviously difficult to control, rotation, other factors. So surgery is probably your best option, especially in a football player, and that's what he's about to do.
Brandon, where have you seen technology going for injuries like this? You brought the Theismann injury now. You know, that's hell, that's 20-some years ago, even longer than that, 30-some years ago.
I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah. Where's technology go? Because I've, the injuries I've had, whether it's ACL, torn biceps, there's always something new, whether you're using cadaver parts, whatever. But any improvements for injuries like this to expedite the process and getting guys healthier?
You know, I would say, in the last 15, 20 years, they've really revolutionized the use of what we call intramedullary nails. It's a rod that you actually place inside the bone. You slide it inside the bone, and it acts as kind of an internal stabilizer. A huge kind of leap forward in technology, although it's been out for quite a while. You have to use, obviously, just casts and screws Braden's area. So you can get away with putting in an implant like this with minimal incisions, recovery times much faster, and somebody young and healthy like him, you could even probably talk about letting him put some weight on it right after surgery. And so that is a pretty advanced technology that we're using, but still, it takes time for the body, obviously, to heal that.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, Earl Thomas, our discussion, the broken tibia, that fracture is a vicious injury. Can you talk a little bit about how this injury heals? Is it a part of the body where it all the things and treatments can be given to it, but it's one of those hard injuries to heal, or is it relatively an easy fix and an easy heal aside from the rehab process?
It really is a pretty easy area to get to heal. And again, there's some real pearls with these. Making sure your alignment looks great, making sure you get good contact with the bone ends when you, those are all kind of important things from a surgical perspective. But if you get all those things right, it should heal very well. I'll tell you where you run into with these is if it's somebody with a stress fracture, that's clearly not him. They tend to have diminished healing anyhow. And to be really aggressive, less maybe faster, maybe you let them put weight on it too soon. Anything that kind of introduces more, we call kind of micro motion at the fracture site, that actually can slow down fracture healing. And so you've got to be able to walk that kind of fine balance of being aggressive enough of a high level athlete, but also not too aggressive that you still allow their biology to take over and heal it.
From the mental standpoint, you got to trust your leg when you get back, if you're Earl Thomas, if he comes back. Effect on field, does this cut down his speed, his lateral quickness, his north-south speed to a point? Obviously, you got to have great flow and hips in the secondary.
But not necessarily just the healing aspect, muscles. Trying to build that speed back in, trying to overcome a lot of the scar tissue that occurs, that's what's really difficult. Limits back to that same kind of level of competition. Now, he's such a talented guy.
Let's just
be quite the same player.
Hold on, Dr. Brandon, we you cut out there.
Sorry.
You said that he's such a talented player, and then we had the Forest take over. Kind of go back there.
such a talented guy that he'll probably get back to playing. The issue would be, would he ever get back to that same level? And that's going to be, difficult to get back there just because of all the extensive trauma that happens with this type of injury.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. And lastly, about 30 seconds here, Dr. Brandon, thanks for squeezing us in today. Is this something that's gets Seattle thinking? He's a high draft pick. He's a guy they developed. He's Legion of Boom guy. But are they thinking on to the next? Is this one of those career potentially ending injuries where he's expendable?
They probably would be wise to start looking at some options. Obviously in the short term, yes, because next year he may not even be the same guy next year. I mean, this could be a good 1 to 2 year recovery to get back to that level if he ever gets there. But probably wise on their part to start looking a little bit in that direction. Again, you look at the data behind these, and the turn rate is not what we'd like it to be. It's not like an ACL or shoulders, shoulder surgery for these guys. Tibia fractures can be real kind of devastating to your career.
Dr. Brandon, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, Chris. You guys take care.
Awesome stuff. Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. And there we go. We're talking tibia fracture, Earl Thomas Theismann. Let's talk hoops for a second here. We'll give you a chance coming up here at the Holiday Hail Mary. As you look at the line and look at Vegas and this thing, we need to do a roundtable real quick as far as a prediction here. You look at Creighton, what they score, what they allow. You look at Nebraska, what they score, what they allow. Very simple for me. I need a 20-10 game from Ty Webster. I need a high teen double-double from Easy Ed. I'm demanding, I know. But that needs to happen, and then you need Watson to get in foul trouble, and you need him to be off and make Creighton go left-handed, for lack of a better term, with some additional guys to step up if Watson's out. Make Creighton try and beat you with their worst, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of great they can pick from. Versus Nebraska, you've been close. It's time to move it forward and get one of these and play your best. Play up to the moment. Play up to the opponent. And that's what needs to happen. I still think Creighton gets this done. I think they cover. And I think it's going to be 85-72 type thing. I'm seeing a 13-point little punch in the face.
Yeah. I think about a 10-point win for Creighton as well. Is it too much to ask for Nebraska to shoot well beyond 3-point line tonight? Is it too much?
There's open looks. You got to hit them.
McVay needs to find that stroke. You know, Anton Gill needs to find that stroke. You'll get the shots because you'll get some penetration from Weber. They'll get the looks, but you've got to capitalize.
Pass up a jumper and drive. TJ, give me a score. We got to give crap away next segment.
Creighton 85, Nebraska 79.
TJ says, yeah, he says it's going to be a Creighton win. Breaking hearts. We'll wind it down next.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Our mystery man is leaving the studio. One of the best there is, dear friend. We'll just say it. Let's call him Lou.
I like it.
There we go. Good stuff from Dr. Brandon Seifert. Thanks to Coach Mack, Coach Greg McDermott. We kind enough to give us time. And Andy Markowski was tremendous. And Bob Kessling, play-by-play voice of Tennessee. Tomorrow on the show, we'll run down Lars Anderson. Gary Barnett will be with us. Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. Jacob is so incredible at his hoops breakdown, his knowledge of the game. And he'll have a take and for sure story on HailVarsity.com tonight after the Nebraska-Creighton game. So we are loaded up. We want to get you taken care of and loaded up with the Hail Mary. Holiday Hail Mary with Hail Varsity Radio. Caller 6 right now. We qualify you. 1 week from Friday, we give it away. What are we giving you? Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet valued at $499. Jet Splash Car Wash. Gift card, $100 in value, and a remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln, value at $449. I feel like Barker here. Spay and neuter your pets. Details, ESPN1480.com. Caller 6, get in on the 800 line. 1-800-825-5865 or 466. 3776, the Holiday Hail Mary qualifier now. Caller 6. Okay, Bird, are you going down tonight?
I don't believe so.
You want my wife's ticket?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm in.
Good. I got him in my back pocket. Sorry, dear. Can I pull that off?
Yeah, absolutely. You just, you know, you might have to go to Starter Heyman and get her something, but...
Again, I'm good there. So she's like saying, yes,
yeah,
ditch
yeah,
me.
Yeah, ditch me. Ditch me. Yeah, I'll... Gladly sit at home. No, I'd be in. But I
could you
I
handle like, sitting by Junior?
Oh yeah, totally.
Would I have to sit between you two?
No, I'd just sit on him and just you know keep him quiet.
Yeah, but he's got those fangs. He's a biter.
I'd have him under control.
You just grab him by the neck. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just geeked about this. I think the atmosphere is going to be just unbelievable. And your start. How do you start the last few ones against the little Blue Jays? Have been just brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal starts for Nebraska.
Double digits and, you know, before the under 16.
How long ago was it where it was like 38 to 8?
That was,
and many of you broke your flash screens and remotes?
That was That was the year we ended up making it to the NCAA tournament.
That's right, in 14.
That was at up in Omaha where they wore their black uniforms and just got manhandled.
For the funeral.
Mm-hmm. Because then they beat us. We were picked to win that one. That next year here beat us. Then we get obviously handled last year there.
And 2 years ago, too, you were supposed to win it here because you had Pettaway.
You had
everyone back from a tournament team. And then that one beat you twice because Incarnate Word came in and put the smack down on you.
Yeah, I forgot.
Palm and back of hand. Structure and discipline.
Forgot about the old Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you owe Creighton twice tonight. You owe them for the past several years of hell, and you owe them for the Incarnate Word loss a couple years ago. Right?
Absolutely.
There we go.
I feel like Ed Morrow's going to have a good game.
Ed will go 15-15.
Double-double.
If they win it. DJ Henning is putting on his eye black and his hopping jersey. Jay's getting the hell out of here. So I don't have to say, hey, you want to come sit with me and my kid? And annoying him. I'm off to pick the family up. You have a great night. Enjoy Nebraska, Creighton. Hail Varsity, back at you tomorrow at 4. Thanks to Shuey.